You're listening to About Our Kids on SiriusXM Doctor Radio.
Welcome back. This is Doctor Radio, SiriusXM 110, About Our Kids. I'm Dr. Lori Evans, joined by my co-host, Dr. Ponta Farmond, who is a child psychiatrist who was actually, it's impressive that she's here because she was up late. She had to watch an off-Broadway play and then do a talk back with a very lively audience, but still managed to come in because in this hour, we're going to be talking about developing mindfulness, meditation, and really the imagination in children and teens and the healing power of that. And as our featured guests, we have Dr. Charlotte Resnick. She's a child educational psychologist in practice in Los Angeles, California. She's a former associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA. And for more than 20 years, she's really pioneered therapeutic interventions for a wide spectrum of children and is really best known for creating imagery for kids, breakthrough learning, creativity, and empowerment, and is the author of the book The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. She also does write for Psychology Today. She has a blog called The Power of Imagination, and her website is imageryforkids.com. You know, before we get started, I just want to talk about just an image that I had yesterday that was so powerful. In our waiting room, it was in the middle of the day, so it was very quiet. This child, maybe about 5 years old, was sitting there playing with these little fake fish and fishing, talking to herself left and right. I don't know what the story was, but she was so engrossed in what she was doing. It was just like the most adorable thing I'd seen. And you could just see this was like her imagination running wild. I really think she wasn't fishing for little wooden fish. She must have been out on the Atlantic. I don't know. How it was beautiful. It was really impressive. So welcome, Dr. Resnick.
I'm so happy to be here. It's great to talk to you.
So tell us a little bit about this whole movement, because I do think even though imagination, child's play has been around for so long, this idea of actually teaching kids about, you know, mindfulness and meditation, how did you become involved in this?
Oh, it comes from a long time ago. I was a psychologist in the inner city in Los Angeles, and the kids needed something different, something that could move them, something that could touch their hearts and their souls. And so I guess back then we just started leading them through these guided meditations, which we called guided imageries back then. But that's mm-hmm. what we know as, you know, times change, words change. And I found that they were able to connect with their sadness, their pain, and then through drawing or talking about it, we were able to move them through. And over time, I kind of put a bunch of tools together to help kids be practical with their imagination. I mean, I think everything comes from imagination. Every time we have a thought, that's our imagination. So why not put it to good use and help our kids do better in the world? And now more than ever.
Right. I really think it's just such an important thing. And so, talk to us, is this a whole program that you've developed that schools do therapeutically?
No, I started it in the schools. But it is a program with 9 tools that we could adapt in any age, any area, any culture. We just adapt it to what the kids are needing. And I'm thinking of a little girl who was having trouble sleeping, and my gosh, so many kids have trouble sleeping, partly because of social media, but just, you know, life and the fears and the world we live in. And so I just had her go to her foundation inside. Like, can she imagine a place she's safe? And can she go there through her breathing, which really is a meditation kind of breath, but I call it the balloon breath because it's very, no one gets bothered when you say the word balloon breath. it's really the way into her own wisdom. And then mm-hmm. we asked her to call on, okay, who could help her? Who helps kids? Animals sometimes help, wizards sometimes help, wise people. So she called in an animal friend to see if she could help her with her fear. And what she came up with was this giant white dragon wrapping around her bed to keep her safe at night. And then she mm-hmm. put a tiger by the door just to make sure, you know, cover her bases. And then she was able to fall asleep. And then like a few weeks later or, you know, whatever, she started worrying about her brother, you know, and her parents. So she sent her dragon's relatives to go watch over them. And that brought her peace. And she was like 11 years old, 12 years old. And she was on the playground or talking with her friends and mentioning how she was, you know, helping herself with her imagination with sleep. And a friend said something like, oh, that's stupid. How could that help? And then she said, wait. She said, my fears come from my imagination. So I had to go into that realm to fix them.
Right. And I think that's where it makes so much sense, using kids kind of what they know. So even when you're like renaming breathing and things like that, it's like using their own imagination to protect them, to keep them safe, to help them understand what's going on. And so even talk to us a little bit about, you know, the physical symptoms. I'd love to hear how you use some of your techniques when kids have, you know, stomach aches or headaches or, you know, just the, oh, I can't really go to school today because I'm sick feeling.
Right. I'm trying to help them develop their intuition to know what they're really feeling and to connect with that wisdom inside. So kids have headaches and stomach aches all the time. When I'd be going into classes, everyone would raise their hand. Someone usually had a headache or a stomach ache. So the idea is, I love this. One little girl, her parents were like, you know, getting along, but not getting along. And she started developing these stomach aches. And she, you know, her pediatrician sent her to me. I get a lot of referrals from pediatricians because there's a lot of somatic stuff coming up for kids. And so I had her just do her balloon breath. And then I asked her, what color would be helpful to breathe in to soothe your stomach? And so we're going out of the realm of, you know, medical science, say, but she came up with a rainbow. So she came up with a rainbow of swirling light. So I had to breathe in slowly the rainbow of swirling light to fill up her belly. And that calmed her down. She put her hands on her belly. She just breathed. And that helped her stomach ache. So the idea is that she could practice that every day. You know, it's kind of teaching the kids to meditate every day. You know, when we do the imagination part and the fun kind of games like this, you might think of this as a color game. We also want them to just practice a little bit of breathing. So I start with like three breaths. You know, that's good enough for me. And I give them little stickers with different colors. And I have them put one colored, you know, circle sticker somewhere. And whenever they see that sticker, it's a reminder to take three breaths in. And then they have several colors because you habituate. You get used to one color. You don't notice it anymore. So then you switch the color. So we start with three breaths, and then we move maybe to 10 breaths, which is really only about a minute. And then every few weeks, you just up it a little bit, like five breaths. And that way, over time, they're not only learning to use their imagination, but they're also learning to meditate without even knowing it. So they're learning to go inside and get to that centered place where they could find their answers. And yes, I hear a question coming.
So I think one of the things that I struggle with, you know, there's quite a bit of literature about the benefits of mindfulness meditation on things like ADHD. But with the little kids that might have anxiety and ADHD, they're almost like little Tasmanian devils. They don't pause for a second. And, you know, the idea, and I remember in the hospital when I was working there, trying to get the kiddos to sit to do something like a deep breathing strategy, or we would call pizza breathing strategy, was really challenging. But do you find with just starting with the three breaths, that's enough? Or what are other strategies that parents can use at home?
I think that's a great question, because it not only refers to things like ADHD, but also age differences. So I'll see kids as young as, I say, four. Once three and a half, but they can nap. They might fall asleep on me. But so I just take them where they are. So even a preschooler, when we were checking in with their heart, you know, because I liked it, the heart is so important for a seed of emotions and information. And that little preschooler puts his hand on his heart. And what does your heart tell you? Be nice to my sister. So even though his mom or his dad or his, you know, everybody else in the world was telling him to be nice to his sister, he had integrated it now and he was giving himself the message, which is much more powerful. Or like one little girl came in and she was, again, young, 6 years old. So she's, you know, doesn't have that much attention. And she came in all depressed because it was the beginning of, right before the beginning of the school year. And she thought her brain had rotted. You know, she thought she was going to do terrible in spelling and math. And she wanted to kill herself. Now, I don't know if she really wanted to, but it was an expression of her distress. So what we did was, in just a few minutes, have her do her little bloom breath, and then imagine her little brain and see if there's any dark spots or black spots and clean it all out. Clean it out with white light or Mr. Clean or whatever cleaner she wanted to use. Go into the deep crevices until the little brain cells were happy and dancing and ready to learn. And she did discover, because we kind of did like a before and after picture after, which was like there were black spots where the spelling was supposed to be and all these deep crevices of horrible colors with math. And when her brain was cleaned out, it turned into a flower and she was ready to learn. So in just a few minutes, she was able to transform something. So that's where I'd start, wherever they are at.
Well, you know what I hear? I hear you bring up very important points for people who are trying to teach this to any kid, and especially young kids, that you're starting extremely small, you know, that you're also using their own kind of imagery. So it's not just forced, this is what you should think about, or this is how you do it. It's their own colors, their own animals, their own imagination, which increases motivation. And you're also like, I love the idea of putting a sticker and saying, now is the time to breathe, you know. So you're rewarding them for the practice as well. You know, how do you convince parents to kind of breathe with the kids and do some of this as well?
It's a good question because they're usually, by the time they get to me, they're so desperate, they're willing to try something new.
Okay.
which is what I ask the kids. You know, what's going on? You know, what are your concerns? Just like the parents would tell me. And are you willing to learn some new skills, new tools to help yourself? Are you willing to help your child learn new tools to help them? And everyone says yes, pretty much. And so it is a good idea with the young ones for the parents to breathe with them, to imagine with them. Mm-hmm. I was able to create lots and lots of little, you know, meditations over the years so they could listen to mine. They can make their own on the voice memo. Sometimes kids like to make their own when they're a little bit older. So it just depends whose voice, you know, they particularly feel connected to, want to hear.
And I think, no, go ahead.
I was thinking of an older child who was angry, you know, like tween or even teenagers, a lot of anger I meet then. And so what I had him do was scan his body for where his feelings were, kind of learning a new language, like where do you keep your feelings? And by the way, remember when Inside Out first came out? It was a long time ago. This now we have Inside Out too. But that changed the week after it came out, all the kids I saw, you know, I was seeing in my practice saw it, and they had such good therapy sessions because they really connected with the images of the feelings in there. In fact, even recently, one little boy must have seen the new one, and he holds his hand up and he says, joy is in my thumb. And then he has like mad, sad, scared and disgusted in his other fingers. And then he put his thumb next to his sad feeling, you know, sad finger. And he said that brings joy into the, into the sad feelings. So he had something right in his hands that he could use at any moment. So back to the teenager who was angry. And so we're looking for where's your anger live? Where, you know, in your body, just scan your body. And so, you know, he had like red anger in his belly. And and what color is it? I always ask, what color, what shape, does it have a face? You know, just something that they create some kind of image. And by the way, you don't have to actually see the image. You could just think it. You could just feel it. Everyone receives information differently. So it doesn't matter to me. And then, so he thought of red for the, you know, for the anger. And then when we're working with, say, what we call a negative emotion, we have to have two anecdotes, like two opposites. So whether two opposites of anger. So one, he came up with calm, and he had like blue calm in his shoulders, and the other was love in his heart. And in this case, he called it, he named it white. Sometimes kids name love red, you know, red, but since anger is red, I guess he wanted to switch. So then, okay, just focus on your breathing. This is so fun. I mean, you could do it now. Think of stress or whatever. And then so he breathed his blue calm feelings into his red anger, and then breathed the calm feelings throughout his whole body. So he's filling up his whole body with calm feelings. And notice if anything changes with the anger. Sometimes if I remember it, like I'm remembering it now, I might do a 0 to 10, like the pain scale. Zero is no anger, 10's the most you have. So he might get, you know, 8 for anger before. And then you use your second anecdote, which for him was that white love in his heart. And he breathes the white love into his anger, into his belly, and throughout his whole body. So now, no matter what, his whole body is filled up with love and calmness, and the anger dissipates. It, one boy said, you know, the calmness helped. He said it covered it, but the white love dissipated it. Like the anger exploded and was gone. So I'm telling you these good stories because they're so powerful. And so some kids might not fully have this amazing experience, but they'll have some. So any progress is good. And usually the negative emotions go down and the positive ones go up.
Right. Again, progress may be slow, but it's there. You're listening to Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 110, About Our Kids, Lori Evans, Ponta Farmand, and our featured guest, Dr. Charlotte Resnick, who's talking to us about really using kids' imagination to help them with some pretty big and strong emotions and overcome some significant issues they may have. We'd love to invite callers to give us a call. Maybe you have a story on how you used your child's imagination, or maybe you're wondering how to actually get them to do it. We can be reached at 877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. And we do have a call I want to go right to, Jennifer, who's calling from Florida today. Jennifer, welcome to About Our Kids.
Hey, how are you? My question is, when you have a child with very high anxiety, is there any tools you might suggest when trying to encourage them in uncomfortable situations, such as public speaking?
Oh, so, I love that you said that. I'm sorry. Public speaking is number one fear. I think it's more, you know, it's number one above death.
For everyone. Oh, well.
And so everyone should face their, you know, their imminent demise. But, you know, Dr. Resnick, I'd love to hear, you know, what you're saying, because I think to myself, these are great things to do, some graduated exposure, some imagery. You know, we all have heard the public speaking imagery that people can use. But this is a kid. How much do we push? You know, yeah, what do you think?
You want to start small, as we mentioned earlier. How old is your child?
She's 13, almost 14.
Oh, 13. Okay, great. So you have to negotiate with him. Find out what's important to him. Is he feeling anxious? Would he like things to be different? And how would he like things to be different? So you need a little bit of a backup, you know, story. So if it bothers him about public speaking, great. Then you say, hey, would you be willing to learn some new tools to help yourself? And he might say, if he says yes, that's good. If he says no, then you have to go back and figure out with him what he would like help in. Because public speaking is like a big thing. That's like the major goal. But maybe it's talking in a group, you know, more than one person, talking with 3 or 4 friends first. You see what I mean? You want to break it down to smaller bits so he's willing to actually try those smaller bits. You know, it's like one step at a time, you'll get to the other side. And if he's willing to do that. So part of that is is he into sports at all? Does he like sports?
More musical, plays an instrument, sings.
Okay, so.
It's a girl.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay, but so this is really important because you want to use things that will relate to her. So if she's into music, she might think about her music. What instrument is she playing?
Clarinet.
Clarinet, okay. So we know that it's so important to not only use your imagination, like for sports, like all the Olympic athletes use it, to use mental imagery manipulation to see themselves do well, but she could use it in music first, for example. So maybe she's going to be playing a new piece. Can she imagine playing the piece easily? Can she imagine playing it really well? And then look along the lines. When she's imagining it, what are the obstacles that are preventing her from reaching her potential and playing that music? Can she imagine playing it and being joyful and happy and excited? So you want to start with something, not even about public speaking. It's too big. It's just too big. But if she agrees with you, like, yeah, my goal is public speaking, great. Then we want to break it down to little bits. So start with something that's important to her. And then, so it could be music that's easy, or it could be talking with her friends one or two at a time. And you just want to increase it a little bit of the time. Use her imagination to imagine herself getting there. And every time an obstacle comes up, getting some help from internal help. Is it the older, wiser her that already conquered this? What's her advice to her? That's also okay. Can be very powerful.
Yeah.
Right. So Jennifer, I really think I love the idea. If she likes music, you know, again, you use those as steps. Does she want to be in a marching band? Does she want to have a solo in the next? How would we get that? How would we start? And again, what I think Dr. Resnick is talking about is those small gradual exposures where, okay, can you play for us in the living room? Can you do it, if that's too much, can you do it in your room really loud where we can just hear it, you know, from the other side of the door? So things that she wants is really the way to move. But anybody who's anxious, we want to give them skills to handle those situations where they're going to be uncomfortable, because that's life, and I think that's what you're seeing. She's a teenager. We want her to, like, be brave out there. So
Right. And she might use her brave feelings or her confidence. We could use it the same way we use with the anger. Just, where are your brave feelings? What color are they? Okay, let's breathe them out, just like you breathe in clarinet. And can you breathe them throughout your whole body? And can you breathe them outside your body so it expands even further? So that gives her a little bit more either confidence or fear. You know, she could reduce her fear. She could increase her confidence. She could play with things like that. And it's kind of nice when you start seeing some changes.
All right. Jennifer, we hope that helps. Thank you so much for giving us a call this morning. You're listening to Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 110, About Our Kids. Lori Evans, Ponta Farmond, and our featured guest, Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Oh, I'm having a, like, anxiety about public speaking. I think you made me anxious. I can usually do this. What's the problem here? Okay. But so tell us a little bit about, you know, because you also use some of these techniques when kids have gone through some really pretty painful experiences, like, you know, emotional, physical, even sexual abuse. How do we do it then?
Well, you know, when you mentioned sexual abuse, my hairs, you know, stood on end, and I'm thinking about a little girl. We first want to see if she could build a safe place inside. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, teach her the blue breath, which is very calming. And then her safe place was not safe. Well, to make it safe, she had big signs, like posters being held, saying no bad men allowed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because the idea is you create a place outside or inside and imagine yourself safe and cared for, and, you know, it's a special place for you. And it took her a very long time to feel safe. And then she had to even, I mentioned in that article on Halloween, it's the same thing with fear. She was able to find a spot in her heart, like a spot of light, because it's very dark and very contracted. And then we were able to help her breathe out that light throughout her heart and throughout her chest, and then slowly throughout her whole body, and then slowly past her body, and kind of create an egg shape, and then seal it so it becomes like an egg of protection, and seal it with gold or silver or copper. I don't remember what she used. And then the idea that only good could pass through and bad bounces back. Now, I'm not denying the terrible things that happened to her, but in moving forward, we want to help her create a safer place inside herself, so she's not in that you know, trauma response all the time. And then it's even talking to the younger child that was abused, like mm-hmm. her, where she is now, and what does that younger child need? And maybe in this case, she needed a lot of love and holding. So you want to be with her, you know, be with the child and help her through one step mm-hmm. at a time.
And again, I just love, we're going back to that idea of imagery. And one of the things, this is where the skills become so ubiquitous, because even when kids are undergoing medical procedures, whether they be very common ones like getting, you know, a vaccine or just going to the doctor for a checkup, we actually know that sometimes using imagery and these breathings can lessen the experience of physical pain. And
absolutely.
That's incredibly powerful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I do that a lot with now with all this shots, flu season. Yep. First, I say, don't look. But I'm also thinking about a little boy I worked with for several years who had cancer and often created a healing pond for kids, you know, just to relax in this pond. And while they're floating in it, they could heal what's inside. They could drink the waters from the outside. And his healing pond was blood. And it was blood because he had gotten so many transfusions that helped him. You know, at first it took me aback because I had not seen that before.
You're like, oh, okay.
But this was really healing for him. And same thing, going through operations, imagining his special animal friends around him protecting him during the procedures, imagining his animal friends helping the medicine that he was taking heal him. And it was powerful for him, and I'm sure it helped him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, think about it this way. I want to let our listeners know we'd love to hear from them. Give us a call, 877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. Because when I think of imagery, I think of really athletes using it all the
yes.
time, you know,
yes.
and the World Series is about to start. And I love to have the kids I'm working with. I want you to study the pitcher and the batter. They have all these kind of rituals that they go through, you know, yeah. watch it because you'll see.
Yes.
And it really helps them focus, calm down and block out the 80 million fans who are screaming, yelling,
right.
doing all sorts of things behind them. But that can be incredibly powerful. So do you
yes.
also work with kids who are trying to improve their athletic performance and how
yes.
to use that?
Yes. I mean, think about, I'm thinking about the Winter Olympics. Every time you see the skier at the top of the run and they're mm-hmm. waiting to be called, they're also going through the motions. And Michael Phelps, who won all those gold medals, yeah. used imagery imagination so much. He would imagine himself swimming across the pool and imagining what could possibly go wrong. His goggles fall down, his bathing suit falls down, and then how he quickly fixes it. So that he goes over it over and over. Either he's watching himself swim or he's the swimmer. So either image is fine. And that way he had so much practice that when it came to the actual time, you know, time, he was very, very, very fast. So yes, so many kids, I see kids all the time, you know, they're into soccer, football, baseball. One boy said, I love baseball. And then the golf, I don't know, basketball. So we're using it with them weekly, pretty much. And it's just a question of how much time they're going to put in. You know, mm-hmm. so if you're an athlete, you're spending, you know, maybe an hour a day, 20 minutes, three times a day or more using your imagination. But you just start with a few minutes. Just can you imagine the game going well? Can you imagine, you know, hitting the ball and knocking it out and getting a home run? Can you imagine kicking the ball and then someone's, oh, basketball. There was a study with basketball, which is great. They did imagination, nothing, and practice. And it turns out imagination worked just as well as practice. It was like 23% and 24% improvement.
Oh, good. It means that I don't actually have to do anything. No,
right. Sorry. You don't have to do anything.
I'll just imagine myself.
I think it works slightly better if you combine.
All right. but it is that idea, you know, and especially basketball is, you know, I always say to kids, when they go to that free throw line, no one just walks up and throws the ball. They right. bounce it a couple of times. You see them breathe. You see them, you yes. know, and you can see it. And that's just really, especially for kids, when you talk about the reluctance to do some of these techniques, when I can point to a Michael Phelps or, you know, a Derek right. Jeter doing these, you know, this is where, wait, it really does translate into improved performance in the real world. So, and they all do it. So, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. We're running out of time. I can't believe it. We could speak for hours.
So, you know, Dr. Resnick, so give us your last bit of wisdom, what you'd really like our listeners to take home with them about using children's imagination to help them with all these things.
I would tell all the parents, all the teachers, all the therapists, trust your own intuition and help mm-hmm. them trust theirs. And one little small step at a time.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Charlotte Resnick, a child educational psychologist in practice in Los Angeles, California. Check out her blog, The Power of Imagination, and her website, imageryforkids.com. And also, of course, her book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Thank you so much for being with us this segment.